The Phil Henry Show, brought to you by Nissan and your Nissan dealer.
And now, the Phil Henry Show, with Phil Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Henry.
Raj Fanin is going to be on our show tonight. He is with the Iranian, I believe, the Iranian interest of the Swiss embassy. In other words, the Swiss take care of our interests in Iran, because our interests in Iran are such that the Swiss can handle it. And he's going to be with us at 8 o'clock. Vernon Dozier will also be on. And tonight we have an interesting conversation with Raj especially. It'll be about America and the assimilation of Americans in America. But also with Raj, it's going to be about how it's pissing him off that you can open up a newspaper, right? And on one page you see GIs dragging Saddam Hussein out of a hole. Then you go to page two and you see pictures from Mars. Then you go to page three. You see what I'm saying? In other words, everywhere we turn these days, Americans are just kicking ass. And we sit here and we feel all bad about it. You know, we feel ashamed of it. Look at this, man. We're like on Mars and we're dragging Saddam's ass out of a hole. And then we're going over here, plugging a dike over here, if you pardon the expression. And then we're putting our finger in another dike over here, if you'll pardon the thing. Everywhere we turn, there's America trying to plug up all the freaking holes. And what do we got? Oh, a whole bunch of people feeling guilty about it. Well, we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't go there. We should go here. Don't want to be this. We don't want to be that. You know, why can't we just... What was that... what's her name? Gwyneth Paltrow. That was the latest thing from her. See, pardon me if I talk a lot about actors, but in Los Angeles, the minute one of them opens a mouth, opens anything related to a mouth, the hole under the nose, any hole they open up, man, and they got a microphone in front of it. Let me just put it that way. You open a hole in L.A. and you're an actor, man, they'll shove a microphone up it. So you'll pardon me, guys, but every time one of them opens their mouth, you think it was a proclamation from the United Nations. And she says, she thinks America ought to do something. What, we got to be more responsible to the world? We got to pay more attention to the world? That's it. We should pay more attention to the world. No, we shouldn't. We're paying attention to what we ought to be paying attention to. We're paying attention to America. We're taking care of number one for a change. Thank you very much. We're taking care of number one, baby. And then we take care of number two. And then we wash our hands. And that's how it's done. That's how you do the boogie-woogie. So look at that. Mars, Saddam. It's a hell of a place. It's pretty weird. I mean, what did the Romans approach it? They built a road. That was it. Boom. And for that day, those times, it's like landing on Mars. The Romans built a road. They built the Appian Way. And the Appian Way extended from Rome all the way up into the northern provinces of Gaul. And the Romans conquered as far north as Britannia. They didn't quite get as far as Scotland. Anybody wants to put down the Scots and the Irish, just remember this. They kicked the Romans' ass out of there. Apparently the Romans couldn't take all those cats with skirts. I don't know what it was. I'm sorry for that, you know, pedestrian and sophomoric reference. But in any event, that was the height of civilization those days, man. They built a road. They built a highway. They also had an aqueduct. And they also had, a big army. And they were. And today we got America on Mars and grabbing Saddam. And we're trying to get the food in there. And we're trying to take care of those Iranians so they don't build a nuclear bomb and blow everybody half to hell. And we're trying to take care of those Syrians, make sure they don't stick a shank in somebody else's back. Then we're trying to keep the frogs and the krauts at bay, waiting for them to stick a knife in someone's thorax. And all at the same time, with the other hand, of course, we're opening up a Starbucks in France, see? So, you know, revenge comes slow, sweet, hot, and with non-fat milk. There's a Starbucks in Paris. You know, for all of their problem with us, they got more American. They got a pizza. You ever been to the Pizza Hut France website? It's frightening. It's just, it's, you know, there's a guy with a, he looks as if he's in clown makeup, but he's not supposed to be. He looks like he's just leaping out of a television set. And then, you know, that, what else? Everywhere. Somebody hanging off of us. The Mexicans want something. The Canadians want a piece of the action in Iraq. The South Americans, they ain't going to be shutting up for long, man. They'll check in. They'll be squealing for something. And we handle all of it with grace and with dignity. And man, if you squeeze a fart out the wrong way, everybody's down on you like stink on you know what. Like stink on Joe McDonald. I'm joking, Joe. I'm kidding around, pal. How you been? Hey, you know what I'm saying? This is an amazing place. We're handling it. Then I gotta get a Bush. He's been called a moral coward. Today they booed him over there at the Martin Luther King. You see, everybody in Atlanta now, everyone, all you people in Atlanta, yeah, you know exactly what Dr. King would be thinking right now, don't you? Yeah, uh-huh. And, of course, you all believe in what he believed in, don't you? Sure, you're all pacifists.
Well, Bush wasn't a pacifist. What's he doing laying a wreath at his grave?
Well, you know what? The man was paying his respects. He was paying his respects, and the classy people of Atlanta boo the guy. What is he? What do you want him to do? Stay away like he doesn't have a right? He's a citizen of this country, happens to be the president, but that, you know, doesn't make him Hitler. Although, according to Margaret Cho, he would be if he applied himself. That's a funny line. Good one, Margaret. You got one out this year, okay? That's all for this year. And they boo the cat because he's standing, he's honoring Martin Luther King. Is there a problem we got here, ladies and gentlemen? It's a national holiday. You're going to stand down there, no war. I saw a bumper sticker today. War is not the answer. I'm going to get a bumper sticker that says war is sometimes the answer. War sometimes is a very good answer. That's my bumper sticker. In fact, we'll print them up and we'll sell them. $1 a piece, and all of the proceeds will go to me. A portion of the proceeds will go to Bud Dickman and trying to get a new plate for his head, and then another portion of the proceeds will go to Frodo the puppet to see that his thumb puppet son gets sex education. And that's it. No more. Martin Luther King, the man goes down to lay a wreath. Guy can't even pay his respects at the grave of one of the greatest Americans that ever lived because you got to be the right kind of person to do that, see, down in Atlanta. What, do you got to be black? I bet you got to be black in Atlanta to pay your respects at the tomb of one of the greatest Americans to ever, one of the greatest human beings to ever live. Well, what about all those women he screwed around with? You know what? What about Thomas Jefferson owning slaves? What about George Washington smoking large baggies of pot? What about George Washington grew hemp? He grew it, he smoked it, and then he realized, hey, I could make rope out of this. Or maybe it was the other way around. Maybe they ran out of something to smoke, and they decided to go down to the boat and just cut it loose. Maybe Bush should have worn blackface down there like Ted Danson. Now, that would have gone over like a fart in the middle of a submarine. I would have paid large dollars to see him do that. Bush shows up in blackface at the Martin Luther King, you know, and then, of course, everybody says he's an insensitive piece of crap. Because what? You know, I understand that Dr. King was against the Vietnam War. I get that, okay? Every war is, he may be very much in favor of this war. If he's a pacifist, he doesn't believe in war at all. I am a more of a subscriber to the philosophy of Malcolm X, which is somebody screws with you, you screw with them back. That's Malcolm X to me was the quintessential American. If you want a holiday for a guy, that's the guy to give a holiday to. He said, and I quote, "It is common sense to defend yourself." Common sense. And he said, if the Klan wants to mess with me, then I will pick up my rifle and I'll mess back. I'm not going to stand there and walk down the road peacefully and wait for somebody to turn a fire hose on my black ass, nor would I think Phil Henry should let anybody turn a fire hose up his Irish ass, unless, of course, it makes him smile. And so, you know, he believed in picking. Now, that's my kind of American. But, however, I honor Martin Luther King because he tried to elevate us to a new level of whatever the hell it was. And some guy goes down there named George Bush who wants to lay a wreath, and everybody's got a big problem with it. You people, why don't you grow a few, you know, why don't you get yourselves a little bit of class down there? Booing at the tomb of Martin Luther King. Where's the guy supposed to go? Who's allowed? I bet you'd rather have Britney Spears get married on the tomb of Martin Luther King than have George Bush lay a wreath there. I bet you that would make you happy, okay? Because that's going to be your next stunt. She tongue-locked Madonna. Then she, I don't know what she did, she rubbed herself on somebody on stage. Then she got married to some kid in Vegas for about 5 minutes. And now she's going to get married on the tomb of Martin Luther King. Because her mother, who's been advising her, I guess, has got all these knock-it-out-of-the-park ideas. Yeah, nice going, baby. At this rate, Brittany, you're going to look like Laura Flynn Boyle on the cover of the Globe this week. Did you see her? Oh, my Jesus. That's what hanging out with Nicholson will do for you, honey. She looks like, well, anorexic is the word. Ethiopia comes to mind, Auschwitz. 1-800-449-8686. Raj Fineen on the show today. He's bitching about America and all of the technologic achievements making everybody else look bad. Vernon Dozier, trying to help his neighbor assimilate, got his neighbor angry at him. We'll talk about that with Vernon on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Some of you guys maybe, I don't understand what you mean by refeed. So last hour there was a refeed to a part of the country and now they're hearing the show live. Is that it? What happened that we got all those calls wanting to talk about Bobby Dooley from yesterday's show? Turn the mic on so I can hear what people are talking about. Turn a switch on.
Yeah, they're playing yesterday's bit somewhere else in the country, and we were getting a bunch of...
Why is that? Why, this hour, they're playing yesterday's bit somewhere?
Yeah, from the refeed from yesterday.
Right now?
Yes.
Why are they playing a refeed from yesterday when we're on the air live right now?
You got me. That's what we're trying to figure out
right
now.
Thank you. Because I saw this blast of calls, and I said to Chris, there must be a whole lot of retards calling him, and he goes, well, yeah, as usual, but also... 1-800-449-8686. I'm telling you, these vicious bastards, it's like I saw this, you know, it was a film of, or a videotape of President Bush. Now, look, you got to be fair. Fair is fair. Am I right? What's going on right now, and I'm going to keep on saying it. I'm going to say it until I start bleeding. I'm going to say it until someone stops me from saying it. I'd love it. Excuse me. I love it. Someone is trying to stop me right now. I think it's Darth Vader. I'd love it if somebody would come up with something for the Democratic Party to say other than, I hate Bush. Dig it? Speaking as a Democrat. And I spoke to a bunch today. I was over, we were finishing up the final touches there on our pilot for Fox. So I was with a lot of Hollywood type guys. A lot of Hollywood type Democrats. And they all agreed with me. They said, Jesus H, man. I mean, it's like this. MoveOn.org. You guys are a real joke, man. I mean, seriously. And that website you got, which purports to look like a serious discussion of the issues, you ain't discussed a serious freaking issue since, you know, you saw a little bit of blood in your stool. You might have discussed that with the doctor. But the fact is, you guys, with the 30-second anti-Bush ads, the vicious attack on the president today, yesterday by Al Gore calling the guy a moral coward. Why, man? Because he doesn't agree with your view of how the environment is supposed to be handled? You know, I mean, I love the environment, and I'm into environmental issues, but quite frankly, I would rather drill oil up in Alaska or wherever the hell it is they want to drill it. I'd rather kill a few caribou than continually kill Americans in the Middle East. And yes, Americans are getting killed in the Middle East because of the insatiable thirst we have for Middle Eastern oil. It's not because of Bush, and it ain't because of the Bush family's interests with oil, which is the largest load of fragrant turd that's ever been pushed out on a spring morning. These cats would like to say the Bush family oil business. One of them was this Paltrow broad yesterday. She said that, right? And she's just quoting Martin Sheen, and he's quoting something that he saw scratched on a urinal wall someplace. And the guy that wrote that, he's quoting, I don't know, Robert Downey Jr., who was in the middle of a fever dream, you know, withdrawal problem. Yeah, just as they were saying, all right, here's a little more Thorazine, Mr. Downey. Bush is a criminal! Okay. All right, so now the guy is responsible for our addiction to oil. Is that it? Hey, take a look out there in the highways and byways of beautiful America, baby. Every time you see mommy pulling into the gas station with ever larger, ever bigger, ever more throbbing, ever more rigid, stiff, rock-hard SUVs, that take ever more gasoline. The oil's coming from the Middle East. It's the American dream. It's what Americans want. Republican and liberal and Democrat. It's what we want. We want it now. We want it ready. We want it cheap. And we got to have it, man. We got to put it into our Jaguar. We got to put it into our Volkswagen. We got to put it into our Expedition, Exploration, Expedition, Explosion, X-something. Explorer. I like the Exposition. Is there one called that? There's the Expedition, but I think there should be the... How about the Exponent? I think the Expatriate is a pretty good car, too, if you look at that, man. It's even longer and bigger and thicker and fatter and wider. And ready for you, honey. And there's the Excursion. And the Excalibur. But in 2005, somebody's coming out with the 2005 Excrement. That, to me, is going to be the fantastic ride of a lifetime. You'll be sitting in what you always knew you were sitting in, a big block of crap. The 2005 Butt Log. You want to know why we're hooked on oil? It's because of you and me. That's why we're hooked on freaking oil. Give me this Bush family oil business. That's a hot one. The very first sheikh in Saudi Arabia in 1938 or whatever it was, he met up with some limey who went down there and found some oil. A couple of Americans got into the oil business in Iran. Yeah, the Westerners started pulling it out of the ground, baby, and all the ragheads started making the money on it. And that's how business is done. Jesus, what do you think? You go down there, you find some oil, and if the guy happens to be a blood-sucking, bloodthirsty, rotten, ravenous dictator, you're not going to do business with him? Is that what a lot of us out here in fairyland would do? Is that what we'd say? We'd say, well, you know what? Because we are America, and we're morally superior, because you are a bloodletting dictator, we're not going to do any business with you and your oil-rich country. We'll just let the British take it. We'll let the Russians take it. We'll let the Chinese take it, and we'll spend $6 a gallon. We didn't do that, did we? What we said was, sure, your royal highness, towelhead, whatever the hell you want to be called. Yeah, right. Effendi or whatever the hell your bullcrap is. Hey, listen, while we're down here, can we film Lawrence of Arabia, too? Thank you. Peter O'Toole's going to need a trailer, though, and about six bottles of gin. So we went down there, we made nice with him. Why? Because the American people wanted gasoline for 30, 50, 60, a buck a gallon. Now it's... $2. That's why. And a lot of us like to sit here on our high horse. We say, well, if I had known that was going on, that's just brain damage. That's okay. It was an acid trip, 1971. If I had known what was going on, then I never would have appreciated or applauded America's moves in the Middle East the way they did. Oh, please. It ain't that you know what's going on, you don't know what's going on, it's that we don't want to know, right? It's like the Kennedy assassination. We all know there were probably like six guys involved, but we're done with it. We don't want to know about it. We don't want to know that on a day in November of 1963, the government stopped working. Just like we don't want to know that back in the 1930s, we began a series of associations that would lead us to a series of relationships with some of those bloodthirsty bastards in the history of the world so that you and me and mommy and daddy could go off see grandma this summer in the big fat-ass Winnebago. It ain't that we disapprove, and it isn't that we approve. It's that we don't want to know. And when push comes to shove, and it gets really easy, here's what we get to say. We get to say it's the Bush family connection with the royal. Yes, of course, that's it. It all started with the Bush connection to the royal family. You know what, folks? If we're to look at the truth square in the eye, we're all just rotten bastards. Coming up, your chance to win tickets to Disneyland. I'm kidding. All right. I'm not kidding about any of it, really. But I am, sort of. 1-800-449-8686. Raj Fadin is coming up. And he don't like us being on Mars. We just look too good, too powerful.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Bill Hendry Show is back.
And Raj Fanin, who is associated with the Iranian government as an attaché, is going to be on our show. an Iranian government official will be on our show to talk about what he feels is the United States really piling on these days with its technology, with its world domination, etc. And we'll get the usual, you know, third world view from him, I'm sure. I have no idea. And Mr. Dozier, Vernon Dozier with us, a high school college coach who is, frankly, in a dispute with a neighbor over a wall and property rights. He felt he was helping this man assimilate by making a Korean joke, saying, "This is my dog, no barbecue." And, you know, the guy got upset. So that's coming up on our show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. And we also have a website, www.philhenryshow.com. You got any questions about our show, that's the best place to go to have them answered. You'll figure it all out right there. There's a variety of places to go on that website. There's an area where you can read some of the press that we've gotten, which is kind of an egotistical thing to do, isn't it? Just kind of a, you know, self-important, you know, just blow myself up. Hey, look at all the ink I've gotten. Well, actually, there are some interviews that are on video there that if you don't know what I look like or you want to see what the hell I look like on TV, I don't know. There's also a place where you can go to the audio archives and hear the best material from our show going back 8-9 years now, really. And all of this material is available by going to our audio archive if you have a backstage pass. That's $6.95 a month. You go to www.philhenryshow.com and get the backstage pass. And we also have our souvenir shop, too, in addition to which we sell our Best Of CD. The Best Of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD is called The Death of Talk Radio, and it's available for $20. And all of the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. In a moment, I got to do a semi-regular sort of pitch that I do about, you know, riding in the fast lane. This is something we have to do every so often. Every now and again, I got to get on the radio and I can explain to all of you people, and I know I'm not talking to you and you and you, but I'm talking to the rest of them, you know, the ones who sit there in the fast lane and they think that they're a cop, so they're going to go 65 miles an hour because that's what the speed limit says, and they're not going a mile an hour faster, and nobody can make them, and they are unaware of the fact that what they're doing is illegal. Illegal. And if there'd be more cops giving tickets there, that'd be a beautiful thing. In fact, if you guys, especially the LA cops, would do two things, just two things, I would be, any of you highway patrol guys that work here, and maybe in a lot of other cities, just two things. Patrol that Diamond Lane in the 405, on the 405 going south every morning, because there's suckers, there's single guys driving on that thing every morning, and I'm going to take matters into my own hands if you guys don't do something about it. I mean, I'm not trying to threaten, but in a way I am. And then number two, would you watch these guys sitting there in that fast lane, parking their ass there at 55 miles an hour? And then a guy the other day, he did this to me. I can't believe it. I gave him the brights. I flicked my brights, which is a suggested manner of indicating to the individual ahead, would you please move over? Guess what he did? He pumped his brakes like three times. Now, if I was insane, like I used to be, if I hadn't met up with good Dr. Norgalkin, I can't pronounce his name, because I never have been able to, then I probably would have done something really bad to him. But I'm better now. I did drive around him and flip him off. You know, I did one of those pumping the finger up in the air, kind of like, you know, Che Guevara kind of thing. Just, you know, a very vigorous pumping, but you're not allowed to do that, and if you do it, then you are in two words, anus. You understand? Sitting there in a fast lane, not only are you in what I said, you're also not very educated to, well, probably anything. And you doing 65 because you think you have a right to do it, the number one lane, the far left lane, you don't. And all you're doing is contributing to pissing off more and more people until we get another little rash of road rage going on around here some one of these days. I swear to God, it feels like we're due for one. Thanks a lot, Henry. That was really responsible. Now some guy out there. No, it isn't. It's not some guy out there. It's just some guy who flips his lid. Just all it takes is one guy flipping his freaking lid because of some self-entitled jackass sitting in the fast lane when he ought to be moving over, just pissing off one guy too many, and the next thing you know, we have ourselves another nightly news report with Jerry and all the rest of them with their bouffant hairdos saying, and here on the 405 is another dead body, and over here on the 20 is another dead body, and down here on the 5 is another dead body. I don't mean to scare anybody, but it is fun. All right, 1-800-449-8686. So now, what the hell was I talking about? Well, I did the road rage thing. Was that it? Oh, yeah. Oh, Jesus. Here we go. By now, you've probably heard about this cheerleader who fell from a hotel window in Maui. A high school cheerleader on a dream trip to Hawaii to perform at a college football all-star game plunged to her death from a ninth-floor hotel balcony. An initial autopsy released showed alcohol in her system, but no evidence of foul play. The body of Lauren Croson was found Monday morning by a hotel guest only hours after she checked into the Hyatt Regency Maui Resort and Spa. Police arrested Donald L. DeVorce, 19, and Eric P. Larson, 20, on suspicion of second-degree murder, but they were later released and not charged. Now, this became a big story, probably because she's a high school student. The other thing that, is automatically assumed is, you know, a naked woman, two men, the men obviously did something to her, because men are garbage. I mean, let's face it, you know, we get a naked woman around us, we lose all sense of who we are, and we throw them off of, we throw them out of, let me tell you another possibility that, this is something that every man listening to me right now can relate to. And no woman listening to me right now can relate to. Not a one. There's not one woman listening to me that's going to understand what I'm about to say. Even though you think you do, you don't. And even though you think you do so to the point where you want to call up and talk to me about it, you don't. A drunk woman who is out of control, you can't do anything with her. Not anymore. It used to be you could probably grab her by the arms, throw her in the car, take her to her house, open the door, kick her out onto her front lawn, and then speed off to your home. But now you can't even do that because if you grab her by the arms and put her in the car, she's going to have a bruise on those arms. And the next thing you know, you're staring at a cop. Now, a woman that's drunk and out of control, the best thing you can possibly do, and most guys know this now, I would hope, the best thing to do is leave her where you found her. It might be your wife. It might be your girlfriend. It could be somebody very important. Like, could be your mother. For instance, if your mother gets drunk and out of control and tells you to F off and shove it up your you-know-what in the middle of a big, in a club or in a, and you know how like a wild, crazy woman can get? You can't smack her, you can't grab her, you can't do diddly squat other than sit there and look at her and say, okay, baby, guess what? Here's some cab fare. See you later. And as you're walking back out to your car, you can hear trailing off in the distance, you fag, you ass, you fag, you're a faggot. You know, that kind of thing. Have I had that experience? I've had it once. Maybe twice. There ain't a man I know that ain't had that experience. So now these two guys are in a hotel room. I'm just giving you a possibility. You know, Phil, you're talking about a high school girl. I understand what I'm and who I'm talking about. I get it. You got two guys in a hotel. I'm just giving you another scenario. Two guys in a hotel room with a woman who's had a hell of a lot to drink and is singing and dancing and wants to go out and wants to do this and she wants to get up on the top of the freaking, a television set and start dancing. Can't do a damn thing with her. And the next thing you know, she's, you know, saying, stay away from me and I want to be free and I want to have fun. And she falls off the balcony and she dies. How about that for a scenario? Because that's one that I would absolutely believe. Like I said, there ain't a woman listening to me right now that understands what I'm talking about. So, and if you were a guy, you've been into that situation, you got a chick who's had too much to drink, I got a big piece of advice for you. Leave her. You can't get her in the car. If you try to get her in the car, she's going to scream and fight and kick and scratch, right? Then some hero who's in the bar is going to think you're abusing a woman. Then the next thing you know, you're going to have to kick someone else's ass, too. So you don't want to do that. Okay. So you may suggest that she get in the car, but she'll just tell you to pound it. You can grab her purse and you can get her sweater, and maybe that'll get her induced to go to the car. But then, like I say, the hero type option comes in again. And like I said, that's another ass you got to kick. What you got to do and understand, shove about 20 bucks into her purse and leave her there. Well, what if it's in the middle of Watts? That's one of the reasons why you're leaving her there. She wanted to go dancing in Watts.
I want to go dancing at a rhythm and blues club.
Honey, look, we're white. And,
yeah, I've got a lot of black friends. I dance at all the black clubs. My friend TJ, that's great.
I'm talking about Watts now, okay? Do you understand? I can't go down there. It's 2 o'clock in the morning down there.
You're just scared. You're not a man at all.
Okay, so then you wind up getting talked into going down there, don't you? You walk into some R&B club, some cat's looking at you. He's got $9 million worth of gold shimmering inside his mouth. They got a bouncer, man. This guy looks like he's been, you know, he was bouncing at the gates of hell. He threw Satan out of a nightclub in heaven. So, and now she starts dancing with every cat in the joint. Maybe she's even, and you're asking, how the hell did I get talked into this? What am I doing with this skank down here? Now you say, look, we got to get in the car. No. I said we're getting in the car. You can't. And this is one of women, the favorite line of all women everywhere, especially after about 10 glasses of wine. You can't tell me what to do. Oh, wait a minute. There we go. You can't tell me what to do.
You can't tell me what to do. You're not my dad.
I'm telling you, it's not safe.
I'm fine. If you're scared...
Meanwhile, some cat by the name of ML just walked up to you and said, how much money you got? You know what? I haven't counted.
Let me see. I want $20.
I'm telling you, you think it hadn't happened to me? It has. Of course, I told the guy over my dead body. I'm joking. I said over my dead body, and he went, all right. So,
I'm not going to go, and you can.
All right, you stupid I'm taking your purse and you...
No, you can't have my purse.
All right, I'm leaving you here.
Go ahead.
That's... Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Next morning, open up the paper. The body of a white woman was found stabbed. You know... If you happen to know that a woman is out of control like that before you marry her, buddy, you are a lucky man. Don't go near it. Don't go near it. I'm Martha Stewart, and coming up next, how to make paper hats. 1-800-449-8686. How about that as a sting going into the commercials tonight? When you hear that, then you'll know. And if it gets irritating enough, let's see if the audience gets so irritated with it, they can vote yes or no. It will give you a good, you know, kind of lockout for the next segment. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Coming up is Raj Fanin from the Iranian embassy to talk about America's technological and military achievements recently and how it's humiliating to the third world. And Vernon Dozier talking about helping his neighbor assimilate. Our web address is www.philhendryshow.com and our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com. And you can view the webcast from last, when did we do our webcast? Before I left for vacation? No, we did it on last Friday after I came back from vacation. You can view that, a webcast on how we do our show. $6.95 is a backstage pass. And that's a beautiful thing. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Dion. Dion?
Phil.
Yes.
I want to know one thing. Why are you such an arrogant, racist punk?
Well, why do you hate white people?
Let me just rephrase.
No. You have to answer my question too.
I love whites.
No, you don't. Why are you a arrogant, racist punk?
I mean, why would you go around and make a comment where a white girl goes to a black club?
Why do you go around and talk about white people the way you do?
I haven't said anything about white people.
Yes, you have. You talk about white people being racist when they're not.
Well, you are racist.
No, you're a racist.
You're a dumb racist.
You're a racist punk.
See, Dan, if
you want to call names, then you're just as dumb as most of the people I talk to. But if you want to have a discourse, we can have a discourse.
Well, let's have a discourse.
Oh, okay. But you opened the whole thing with punk. And right there, there's a stereotype for you. There's a black stereotype. A guy that can't use the English language properly.
Well, let's try it all over again.
Okay.
Let me
all right. Now, what makes you think I'm a racist?
Why would you make a comment about a white woman going to a black club and end up getting stabbed with a knife or get killed because she went to a black club?
Well, I'm talking about an area of Los Angeles called Watts, which is a sections of that area are violent. They are. Right. It's carjack country.
They kill white people?
Well, you know what? Whites don't go there.
Absolutely. So why would you make that analogy?
Because if a white guy meets up with some girl from out of town and she wants to go down to where the brothers dance, because she's got a lot of black friends back home in Billings, Montana, and you try to tell her, no, we can't really go down there, it's not really a safe place, and she's a dumb, drunk chick, a lot of guys get talked into it, they go ahead and go down there, and maybe it's something that they shouldn't do.
Phil, they do the same thing in Hollywood in a white neighborhood while black guys want to follow a white girl.
Okay,
down there,
fine. All right, we can talk about that. I'm just talking about my experience. Would you like me to talk about my experience as a black man? I can. I'm not black.
Absolutely.
I talk about my experience as a white man. But I totally understand what you're saying. A white black guy's getting hassled. The whole point of what I was saying was dealing with an inebriated and out of control woman. And I, frankly, that happened to me one night.
Well,
she wanted to go dance with all the... Huh?
And that's probably the reason why you feel the way you do, because she's a black man.
How do I feel? How do I...
But she wanted to dance with a black man.
How do I... What are you talking about, man? I've had like 5-6 black girlfriends who preferred me over their black predecessors. So what do you think of that? What are you talking about, man? Don't give me that stereotype about the super lover being a black guy, okay?
You know, that's the problem you have is that some black guys are... You're a white woman. Away
you know
from
what?
You have a problem with
my white woman, dude. I took about 5-6 black chicks away from you cats. So what's your problem?
You probably took our rejects and wanted to be.
No, man. No, dude.
You know,
you know what? I tell you what. I had a couple of brothers come up to me at a gas station in San Luis Obispo and ask me, "Was that my girlfriend?" I said, "Yeah, back off," and they did.
How about that? I took your mama,
Dion. Hey, tell you what, pal. I said we could have a discourse. You don't want to piss off, okay? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
Show brought to you by PetSmart, where you'll find smarter solutions for healthier, happier pets.
And now, here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We're talking with Raj Fanin, who is an Iranian attaché to the Swiss Embassy in Washington. You're going to go to the United Nations tomorrow and ask for what, sir?
Requested a meeting with the UN Security Council no later than tomorrow morning to rule on a resolution which would censor images promoted by the American government of the surface of Mars. And the reason for this is that it is now clear America is not going to stop showing image after image after image of their successes around the world. And it serves the purpose of humiliating us, especially those of us in the geopolitical region of the so-called Middle East.
All right, you're saying you want to ban America showing images of Mars. And these are the ones of the rover?
Well, we have had... within the span of 3 weeks, one page after another, the picture of American soldiers pulling Saddam Hussein from a hole in the ground, and on another, the pictures of the surface of Mars.
Well, are you asking to ban the Martian pictures? So you're saying that the pictures of American soldiers pulling Hussein out of the ground...
Yes.
and the pictures of Mars are humiliating.
Specifically, what we're saying, the pictures of the surface of Mars sent from a spacecraft that has been designed, launched, and operated by America, so they capture a Haiti dictator one week and they go to Mars the next. The images send what we feel is a chillingly humiliating message globally, that we are that this is America and we can do these things, and this makes many of us, especially in Iran, frightened, and it is humiliating.
So you're going before the UN, why?
To ask that there be a moratorium.
You want a moratorium internationally? Well, the U.S. government's never going to agree to that.
The United States government will do what it will do, but we are hoping that the Asian and other entities, European entities particularly, will prohibit this promotion of America's...
How about if I use the word, our success?
If you wish to use the word success, I'm not going to... I'm not necessarily going to argue on the merits of that, but for every... You need to understand that it is humiliating for the Iranian government and people who are trying to...
I have no doubt, Mr. Fanin, that it's humiliating to your government to see America have great success on Mars, in Iraq, and you're not having a lot of success in your country. And I would agree that it's humiliating, but why should we care in America?
Well, you're going to have to care on some level, because the third world, if I read your intellectual community properly, you're going to have most probably a Democratic president.
Well, that's not a foregone conclusion.
Well, let's say that you're going to have to deal with our government. It's not right for the United States to be continually advertising this a success that it has. It's constant. I was speaking to a colleague in Tehran, if I could give you an example of what I'm speaking about, and he was telling me that he had walked out of a public latrine in Tehran, and they're very primitive still, and you literally have to squat over a plywood hole and use, in some cases, they have wax paper instead of a regular disposable paper, and he walks out, having not washed his hands, because there's nowhere to wash your hands, and he walks out to see that the Mars rover has made it onto the surface of Mars. And he realized that there was the same country, America, that had just pulled Saddam Hussein out of the ground and was threatening our country, and he called me and he said that Iran would support a freeze on pictures from Mars because it's making us look... It's not right. It makes us look like, you know, these sort of underdeveloped ragheads that you love to call us.
Well, okay, 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. So the Iranian embassy wants to America not to broadcast pictures of the Martian surface because it's just making us look too good?
You, I think, your country has a history of beating its chest and saying to the world, look how wonderful we are. And it's irritating to see. It's going to be obviously many years before Iran has a space program. And for you people to keep succeeding and looking good to the Arab street, which is the part of the world that we are most concerned with. Americans could have waited to show these pictures of the Martian landing until next year, but they wanted to rub salt into our wounds. And they're
So we're showing pictures of the Martian surface to rub it in.
To rub it, to use a colloquial phrase, yes, to rub it in. And so we are asking that you stop. And if you don't stop, certainly we can have you keep. We can keep the pictures off the air in Europe and in Asia, and in our own countries. I won't let anyone see this because it.
What you're telling me is that America's success in capturing Saddam Hussein, the war in Iraq. We're doing all of that at the same time we're flying to Mars. We've got a plate full, and we're handling it rather well.
Well, it depends on what you think is well. You think you're handling it well, I think you're handling with arrogance. This is the arrogance that we're talking about. Who do you think you are, and what gives you the right to...
Well, who we think... We're Americans.
What gives you the right to go off into outer space and then also to fight and prosecute a war successfully... And then, I don't know what else you're doing. Obviously, you know, football, the Super Bowl is coming up, all of these things. You seem to think that we're watching this in the third world, especially in Iran and Iraq and in elsewhere in Syria, and it's not hurting. It doesn't hurt and give us great pain and also embarrass us in front of our people. More than anything else, it makes us look as if we are fools and that we don't know how to go into outer space ourselves. And me personally...
How does it make you feel personally?
Well, it to use another American colloquial phrase, it angers me. And I'm, you know, so what is next? First, America takes over Iraq, then you land on Mars, and it's almost as if you're going to have images next of Jesus Christ having dinner with Bush himself, and also we tell our people that the Quran says it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. The Quran says this very clearly. And yet our people look back at us and say, we don't care, because look at what America can do.
Well, the world is a material place. You seem to be asking for something that, you know, if the United Nations says you can do it, then you can do it. But the world wants to see these pictures from Mars. And the world wants to see... these pictures from America, and they're fascinated at our the success of our soldiers, fascinated at the success of our science technology, fascinated.
Well, I would ask you to stop because now you're doing a speech, and
no, they're fascinated.
No, shut your mouth for just a minute and listen to this. Iran comes from Persia. Persia is the oldest culture in the world. So, what do you say about that? Persia is the oldest culture. Alexander the Great. And no one will talk about him.
Look at America has gone to Mars.
No. Shut your mouth for just a minute. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
I said about Persia, and you want to go on about America on Mars. Shut your mouth and listen to my question.
Persia was, at its time, one of the world's great empires. It doesn't exist any...
Please shut your mouth because you anger me with your inability to understand...
Sir, I need to go to a phone call, okay?
I beg your pardon?
I need to go to a phone call. Here is Isabel on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, Isabel, go ahead.
Oh, hi. I would like to tell this guy that, you know what, you have to be so fool, so stupid to say that, you know what, as I said before to somebody who answered the phone, I'm so proud of this country. I educate my kid with my blood. You should, if you educate your kids a little bit, you should go to any place. The moon would be too far for you, guy. But at least be intelligent. Don't talk of stupidity.
How dare you?
Everybody would love to come to America. They dream with America. Be proud, whatever
well,
you
I
have.
Think,
if you
I,
keep
yeah.
if you keep throwing stones and hate everybody, you will
no,
go to
no,
any
no,
place.
No. I'm just saying, please quit showing pictures of Mars. You're trying to rub our
noses. Showing pictures to Mars. How can you be so fool, so ignorant?
Could I ask you to shut your mouth for
no, you don't shut your mouth. Be rude.
Yeah, don't.
No, I want the host to shut his mouth so I can say to this lady. And
sir, in my country...
In your country, America?
Yes.
Yeah, I know all about your country. It's arrogance. It goes to Mars. It kills
arrogance.
Iraqis. It does everything.
Arrogance. Here the people work and studied hard to be somebody.
Jesus.
And that's the land of opportunity.
It is the land of opportunity.
Okay,
about
could I ask the host to shut his mouth, please?
Shut your mouth. How dare you?
No.
Be quiet.
I am asking
ignorance.
You. I want to tell the lady a question. Why does America get the right to show... them going to Mars and
we work hard for what we have. We work hard. You know what that is? Nobody sees that we don't work.
You will notice one thing. Iran has never been to outer space. And that is humiliating to us.
Well, too bad.
You've never been to...
Try to do it.
You've never been
to... Try to do it.
Okay,
driving a bicycle first instead of throwing a stone and waste your mind, your kick mind, to put the devil in their mind.
It is humiliating for my people to see Martian surface that
it's
in America.
Go to hell. Humiliating.
Well,
to
see you.
Okay. Alexander the Great
would be
better to hear you.
Could you shut your mouth for a moment?
No.
The people of...
No, please, sir, don't say shut your mouth.
I'm asking you to shut your mouth so I can make a point. The woman is speaking... What? Look, if you show the pictures of Mars, then stop showing the pictures of Saddam. One or the other, but not both. When you show both...
When
you
we
make us look like
showing
stupid.
Saddam just said what he has.
It makes us look like Mr. Henry called a raghead, you know, like I was dumb and I wiped with wax paper.
One light. You touch the freeway.
Yes.
Under the
What are you telling me, a fairy tale or something? What? You pass the freeway and do what?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't talk to you. You have to talk to me.
You must speak with me. You don't talk to some gas station attendant. What are you doing? Are you selling oranges?
Come on. All right. Look, Isabel, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. The attaché of the Iranian embassy in the Swiss, the attaché representing Iranian interests in the Swiss embassy is with us, Mr. Raj Fanin. And he's going before the Security Council tomorrow to ask that images, American images, showing our Martian lander and the Mars surface be prohibited from broadcast internationally. Because America winning in Iraq, America landing on Mars, it is humiliating to the third world. It's humiliating to Iran. It's humiliating to a lot of countries to show their people that America actually does have such great success. He's an amazing guy to actually come out and say this. They're going to put this forward as a proposition. And plus, he's told me and that other caller to shut our mouths while he makes his point. 1-800-449-8686. Are we rubbing it in a little too much? 1-800-449-8686. I don't think so. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Get a piece of fat and slide off.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
I'm talking with Raj Fanin from the Mr. Raj Fanin, correct, sir?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
And you are with the Iranian embassy section, the Iranian interest section of the Swiss embassy, which is where America and Iran's interests are represented. They are represented by the Swiss. Now, you have considered legal action against the United States government because you say you and other Iranian diplomats living in the United States have become accustomed to a good life. Now, you must understand that that's absurd.
Well, I don't think it is absurd. We have come to your country and we've been exposed to top sirloin steak. We have been exposed to beautiful linens, beautiful clothes, efficient public works and public service, and it makes me, in a way, hate my own country and my own people. America has committed a terrible crime in that it has, through exposing its life to the world, has made life very difficult for people in Iran, where, for instance, you don't eat foods that are all that high quality. We eat milk that drink milk that is spoiled often, and much of the meat is fatty. It comes from South America. It's not good. We don't have Pillsbury or any of these cereals, and it's a war crime of imminent proportions. Lance Armstrong wins the Tour de France, and he only has one testicle. He's an American. America fights a war in Iraq, and yet also lands on Mars. It makes me so angry. In Iran, we have men with both testicles, and they have to walk in filthy sandals to get sour milk at a store.
And that's America's fault?
Oh, absolutely it's America's fault, because you're arrogant with your Martian, with all of the Martian nonsense.
All right, let me go over here. Now, Kathy, this Kathy, I know there, I got two Kathys on the line. This Kathy is Persian or Persian ancestry, am I right?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kathy.
I am absolutely appalled by what you're saying. I'm 100% Persian. I don't know where you're getting... Are you upset about the fact that other people are succeeding in the world?
But you know how it makes our country look. We had a revolution.
You know why our country is horrible? It's because of the crappy government we've chosen.
You know, if you were in Iran and you said that, you know that I could legally slap your face for that.
I know, but I'm not. That's why I'm not there.
And that makes, that's what makes me angry, because I can't reach out and slap you for that.
You know what? If I was over there, I'd probably slap you if you were here.
And you, in America, you'd slap me? Yes. You see? And what also makes me
Because you are making me feel angry Maybe then I should not drive my Mercedes or have a nice house over here because other people have to, you know, don't have food.
So you don't feel the Persian people, the Iranian people, who suffered terribly under the Shah, under your hero, the Shah of Iran.
And I'm sorry, when there was Shah around,
yeah, he was
these people had freedom. But with your government right now, it's ran by religion rather than government.
America has made you fat and spoiled. You're a woman. You're an American woman now. You're not Iraqi. You're not Iranian, and you're spoiled. And I would slap you across your face.
The only reason you slap me is because you are a piece of crap.
Do you understand that our men have two testicles and they don't win the Tour de France? An American.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Give me one reason why Iranians cannot go to Mars.
Because America is...
What does that have to do with America? What, Iranians don't have balls?
I'll tell you why. America has humiliated us into not even trying.
That's crap!
Oh, wait a minute!
Shut your mouth.
Maybe
people should stop inventing
you
things.
You have to shut your mouth. Because
Don't tell me to shut my mouth.
Wait a minute. We don't say that on my show, okay?
Exactly.
I'm asking the host of the show to shut his mouth. Please shut your mouth.
Maybe you should learn some manners.
You know America has humiliated us into not even wanting to try to go to Mars.
Oh, then maybe you should just kill yourself and get it over with. What's life living for then?
A Persian woman, you don't find it humiliating that an American with one testicle can win the Tour de France, and an Iranian man with two testicles, we can't even...
You know what I find?
We can't go to the moon.
As a 100% Persian girl, I make about $200,000 a year. I'm 25 years old.
I would slap your face for that.
Why?
Why would you slap?
Shut your mouth.
Why would you slap me?
All right.
Because you're a filthy...
All right. Sherry, I got to go. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I better not take another call. I got a lot of people hanging on here, and please, everybody hanging on, stay with me through the break. But I always do this. I take a call with a minute left, and then I have to put the person on hold. I'm speaking with Raj Fanin. I don't appreciate you telling me to shut my mouth, sir. Mr. Fanin, are you there?
Yes, I'm right here. I'm not trying to tell you, but you are making... You constantly disagree with me. You won't accept what I'm saying. How can an Iranian go to Mars? The woman knows the answer to the question. She knew the answer. We can't go to Mars. We are still wiping our rear ends with banana peels. We are still using wax paper. She asked that question to humiliate me. We are not going to Mars because America has made us too embarrassed to even try and build the rocket.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. America's success, humiliating the rest of the world. The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Talk radio's speed trap. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
From the Iranian intersection of the Swiss Embassy, Mr. Raj Fanin is with us. And you're in Atlantic City right now, sir?
Yes, sir. At present time, and then we are returning to Washington, yes.
All right. I wanted to ask you, Mr. Fanin, you say that Iran, and then we got to get to our phone calls. Iran, you say that America's humiliating the world by going to Mars and waging a war at the same time and making everybody look inept. Why, as the lady asked, doesn't Iran go to Mars too?
The reason why we don't go to Mars is, as I said to you before, is our rocket ship compared to your rocket ships will look like a trash can. And I know Americans, and I know what you'll do. You will look at that rocket ship that looks like a garbage can with a sparkler attached to it, and then you'll go and laugh, and then you'll turn on Will and Grace. And also, which brings up the point of homosexuality, you Americans, you actually put these homosexuals on television, and in Iran, we are not even aware that we have any homosexuals. I'm sure we do, but I've been only aware of one, and he is a member of our government, and I am not at liberty. You see, in your government, so all of this makes me sad and angry.
you guys don't want to go to Mars because you're afraid your rocket ship will look like a garbage can compared to ours.
That is, yes, this is what I mean about the humiliation.
All right, let me go to Frederick. Frederick, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, hi, how are you doing?
Good, sir.
Well, I'm sorry about that person, you know, because he must be frustrated about himself, you know, but...
Are you speaking? Are you talking to me? I'm Raj Fanin. I am a guest on this program.
You a guest? I'm sorry for you, sir. I'm sorry you're a guest, you know.
Why are you sorry for me?
Because all of your complaining, you know. You know, you guys are just a bunch of warriors. And what you're doing besides war, you can do nothing else besides that. Spending the money in war, that's what you guys are good at. Besides that, nothing for the people.
But America,
you're good at nothing about that. You're not good for that.
America started all of it.
Yeah, America is great. America is wonderful. I'm from France. You know what? I moved 6 years ago here, and I love it here.
I want to be clear. You are from France, and you love America?
Yes, I do. I love America.
Never in my life
they are wonderful people. They are wonderful people.
I think you're lying. I would slap you across your face.
Oh, no, yeah, wait a minute.
You're very lucky. You know what? That's fine. You know what? With that kind of language, dude, you're going nowhere. No wonder why
this
you're a fucking loser. Just like your whole country.
I have so much anger inside of me. I feel as if America wants to rub our faces in American excrement. As if that's...
Yeah, well, I hope they really keep going doing that, you know, because that's really what you just deserve.
I cannot believe you are from France and you love America.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, I do. I love America, definitely, you know what? And I was very against them not being helping them, you know.
What if I report you to your what if I report you to the French government? Then I think you're going to have some problems.
Why? What do you mean report him to the French government? What are you going to say? The guy's in America now. He happens to love it here.
You know, yeah. No, I'm still French. I'm still French. But you know what? I'm married with a beautiful American person. I have a beautiful daughter.
I want to ask
you a question. I'm going to live my life here, you know.
I want to ask you a question. Are Frenchmen faggots? Because...
All right, now watch that.
Yes,
watch that language.
Right. No, you shut your mouth.
That's okay. You know, he gets no manner of that person.
No, he's an ill-mannered... You know,
You know what? Just let me talk also, okay? You're maybe the guest, but if I call over there and I waste... Then not wasting my time just trying to make a point.
No, you have to shut your mouth, because...
No, you don't talk to me like that. You don't talk to me like that. Even the lady you talk earlier like that, you don't do that,
let
man.
Let the Frenchman shut his mouth so he can hear something from a Persian man.
Will you, Mr. Fanin, you be quiet and let this gentleman talk.
Thank you. You guys tried to invade France, 600-700 years ago, something like that, maybe even more than that. Charles Martel took you in Poitiers.
You still have a hard-on for that? Oh, come on.
No, I don't. It's just to show you that you're just a bunch of warriors, that's about it. And just spend your money like that. That's only what you guys are. You're frustrated because you can't go to Mars? Dude, you know what? Don't spend your money in war and build some shell, you know, then that you can go over there, maybe, you know what? But nobody wants to help you.
But you know as well as I do, if we build a rocket ship, it will look like a trash can compared to the American.
You can't do that. You don't even have the smart people to do that. The smart people leaving that place and they're going in America when the people are smart and work together.
You know what?
That's where they're going.
I have to say this, Frederick. You are from France, and yet you are not angry that American with one testicle won your race.
Did you know? No, yeah, that's right.
Wait a minute.
Right there, you're very wrong over there also, because you know that people can even have babies with only one testicle. Did you know that?
Well,
you don't even know that, right?
Well, then you must only have one testicle for you to know.
No, I don't, but you know what? I'm a little bit more educated than you, you know? That's maybe why, you know?
You know, you're really hung up on this one testicle.
I'd like the host to shut his mouth. Please shut your mouth.
Well, sir, I'm going to run. Frederick, very good points that you made on our show. Thank you for calling.
Oh, very welcome. Okay, I really like your show. I'm listening to that every time. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thanks a lot.
And all Iranian men have both testicles, and we cannot go to Mars. American has one testicle. He wins the Tour de France and goes to Mars, and also drags Saddam Hussein, who has two testicles, out of a hole. This is the humiliation that the American people have put the Iranian people, the Iraqi people, all the people of the Middle East through, that while you kick our ass in war, you are also on Mars taking pictures of rocks. I would slap the face of you, Mr. Henry, if you were in front of me.
You're slapping my face. Why? Because I'm a proud American. I'm a happy man.
Please shut your mouth. I am saying...
No, I'm not going to shut my mouth.
Shut up. I am saying that I would slap you because you don't understand that you are on the moon, you are on Mars, you win every war you're in, you have one testicle and win races, and I wiped today... A friend of mine wiped today in Tehran with wax paper.
So, yeah, that pretty much explains the dichotomy in culture. Absolutely. Sherry, go ahead.
Mr. Fanin,
yes, ma'am.
I would like to ask you a question. Why do you think that Americans are able to do all of these things?
Because they like to humiliate people.
No, no, no. Why do you think we're able to do it? Are you, I mean, I realized for years that the Middle East is jealous of the American. I mean, we're an upstart, less than, you know, little over two centuries old.
Hit me.
But we started here with nothing. And the reason we have grown
Please, so much is all this word
called freedom.
I'm not allowing women to speak to me the way
we
that
have
you do.
Freedom.
You're
and that is
too
the
much.
Reason why Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, all of those nations that have been going, Saudi Arabia, Syria, they don't have freedom.
Kick that stiff and pound it up your ass. I'm sorry, did you say so?
Are you playing blackjack?
I'm playing some blackjack, yes.
I would ask you, sir, not to play blackjack while you're on my show.
Let me say to the caller this. First of all, you're a woman. The fact that you took so much time making your point offends me. Questions like this would get you slapped in the face in Iraq.
But I'm not in Iraq.
I'm in the United States. I understand.
And a lot of the problems over there are because you do not allow your people the freedom
to explore. Sherry, I want to explore something here. You said that Iran, will not go to Mars because you'd be embarrassed at the way your rocket ship looked.
Yes.
You know, in life, we have to take those chances. Why not get laughed at while your rocket ships blow up? Eventually, they'll get better.
We are not going to let anyone laugh at us. And that's sad.
Then you're never going to go to Mars. And you're never going to wipe with anything other than wax paper. You have to push yourself forward.
Please shut your mouth. Please shut your mouth. Anything else?
Yeah, there is something else.
Go right ahead.
The thing about the United States is not only do we do so much and have so much freedom, is that we are a very generous, generous people. Almost everybody that I've listened to tonight has been from a different country that is now an American citizen or living
in this
country.
That's what pisses me off.
And we are more than willing to help you be like us if you want to be. But you don't want to be. And you don't want your people to be.
America does successful things. And the reason is they say, look, Iran, look at my one testicle in the toilet with the toilet paper, my Mars rocks, and my woman with large breasts. Americans think that they are so special, drinking their Budweiser beer at ball games, and all we have is goat's milk to enjoy during a pebble toss.
I'm not real sure that I really believe that you are anything to do with any kind of a government.
The Iranian government. But listen, thank you very much. Let me go over here to one final call. Mohammed, go ahead.
Are you calling me a liar?
Yes.
I'm calling you a liar, yeah. Go ahead, Mohammed.
Yes. First of all, this gentleman, that's the representative of Iranian embassy here.
Yes.
Your name doesn't sound Persian. I'm a Persian man. Okay. You are embarrassing Persia.
Wait a minute. You don't talk
about the great things of Persia.
Hold on, shut your mouth.
Cyrus the Great, the man that gave all the slaves freedom.
Hmm?
Okay. Freedom of religion. You sponsor terrorism. You go around spending your money not on education and science. Maybe your rockets won't look like garbage can if you didn't spend your money on terrorism and you spend your money on building things, on science, on education of people. You build roads for people.
Why don't they have the Academy Awards in Tehran?
Look at you. You're sitting in Atlantic City complaining about America and how bad it is, but you're playing blackjack. You would be slapped in the face in the street of Iran, wouldn't you, Mr. Testicle? Huh?
You call me Mr. Testicle?
You call yourself Persian? You're Arab. You're a raghead, and you're giving my country a bad reputation and the Persians.
I want to ask you a question.
You're sitting there talking about Saddam Hussein. America did a great job.
I want you to shut your mouth. Shut up.
Your government too.
Shut up. Shut up.
Don't tell me to shut up.
I'm telling you to shut up.
Uneducated Arab.
You call me an uneducated Arab? That is like slapping me across my face.
Yes, you are an Arab. You're not defending freedom. You're not a Persian man.
Let me tell you something. Why will they not have the Academy Awards in Tehran?
Yeah, what do you do with the money? What do you do with all the money that you've received in the last 22 years after the revolution? You've spent it on garbage.
We have one-legged Iranians doing guys and dolls in the Tehran dinner theater. And they have one bald man.
All right, listen, Mohammed.
Really.
Mohammed, you do it. You said it very well, sir. Thank you.
He is not Persian. He is, I think he's from Texas.
Yeah.
Hit me. You can take this stiff and pound it.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Joe Pesci. The guy's in Atlantic City playing blackjack, and he don't dig the country. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. It's not news, it's the Phil Henry Show. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And the song that I like.
What song do you like, Mr. Fanine?
I just want to fly. Put your arms around me, baby. Put your arms around me, baby. That also gives me an erection. And
okay, anyway, we lost our connection. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. That was Raj Fanine from the Iranian embassy. He don't dig the fact that we're on Mars, we're kicking ass in Iraq, we're building a new amusement park. I mean, we do a lot of things. We got our hands in a lot of pies. And of course, for many people, not most, but many people, that's just a bad thing. America's afoot. America's doing bad things. Going to Mars, fighting a war. Ooh! What a hell of a country, man. God, you know, I guess the older I get, the prouder I get. Maybe that means I'm more conservative. I don't think so. I'm extremely liberal when it comes to many things, and I don't know what's so freaking, I don't know why the conservatives get to have the exclusive domain over defending our country. If there's anything that's disgraceful about what happened to liberals over the last, say, 50 years, is that we gave up, willingly gave away our right to say that we can go to war for our country, we can pick up a gun for our country. We just gave that away. We just let the Republicans have that one, huh? They get to have that one? Is that it? When the hell would any of you people fight? What? When? What? When your compound gets invaded? When somebody scales the gate? When someone gets past security? Is that what you're going to start maybe picking up a gun? And then you see this, and I'll tell you something. It is quite amazing to see these pictures coming off of Mars. The things that we're able to do, I guess is what I'm trying to say. The stuff that we're capable of doing. It didn't just happen. I mean, people came here because there was an environment, there was an atmosphere that said, here's a place we can get stuff done. Here's a place we can go and kick a little ass, take a few names, go to Mars, go to Venus, go to Pluto, go to Iraq, go to Iran, kill whoever you want to kill, and or not, as the case may be. You know, put on a helmet, roll a tank in, and yeah, people take their pot shots, all the pea brains. You know, underneath the predictable, by-the-book, hate America, you know, Bush's Hitler discourse, I think a lot of Americans can see exactly what has happened over the last 3 years, something that should have been done a long time ago. We ripped the lid off of this infected nest of scum, this vermin called terrorists. They've been operating for close to 60 years, hijacking, murdering, you name it. And we finally said we're going to do something about it. And boy, has that pissed a lot of people off. Because we don't do it the same way with everybody. Because we're not being fair. Because we didn't do it to the Koreans, but we're doing it to the Iraqis. And why don't we do it to this? If you'd like us to do it to the Koreans, we will. I mean, just send in your name, address, and a self-addressed stamped envelope to kick the Koreans' ass too and care of this show. Then we'll go right on over there and do it too. How about that? Will that make people feel better? I doubt it, but most Americans can see it, though. I mean, I'm getting that sense. And that's why Howard Dean and those guys, they're done, man. And they don't represent me. They don't represent any Democratic Party I'm a member of. Howard Dean? Dude, you are a joke. You don't speak for anybody in the mainstream. And I'll tell you something else. When you say we're no safer today than we were on September the 11th, 2001, because we've gone into Iraq, you, I can guarantee, have not given me any reason to believe that you've got any program that would make me feel safer. As a matter of fact, if you were president of the United States on September the 10th, Mr. Dean, the same bloody thing would have happened to this country. And the same thing with you, Clark. You phony baloney. Why don't you go put your uniform back on, man, and go out and drill on an airplane airline tarmac someplace? You give me a pain. Put your uniform back on. Go kick some Bosnians' ass. You did good over there, man. And you even supported the president's so-called preemptive strike. You made a great argument. You said it's not preemptive. We've been getting hit by these people for years. How's it preemptive when you're being endlessly assaulted by these people? You said it. And then you went back on it. You said you never said it. So you're a liar on top of everything else. You went over and kicked their asses over in Bosnia. The UN didn't want to go in and do it. Did they? I didn't hear anybody complaining about the fact the UN didn't get the big rubber stamp to that one. Now, you know, people are angry because we did exactly the right thing. Exactly the right thing. You look at that country today, Iraq. You look at what we've been able to uncover. You look at the garbage we've been able to round up and stick in front of a camera and interrogate and get information from. You take a look at how the world has changed, and by God, yeah, we are safer. Here, I got proof. You think anybody's going to hijack a plane in the United States anytime soon? No safer, Dean? You been on a plane lately? What would you do if somebody tried to jack that plane? You going to sit there and wait for them to land it? I got news for you. Yeah, we're a hell of a lot safer if only from that standpoint, nobody's ever going to hijack an airplane again in the United States of America. As a matter of fact, they could loosen up all... The only thing they got to be looking for now in terms of weapons, guns and explosives. The penknife thing, forget it. So are we safer today? Yeah. All right, 1-800, but if you get elected president, Jack, I don't know when I could say that, because I ain't heard you say anything about how you're going to make it safer. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
I got Vernon Dozier on the line. Go ahead, Vernon. You were mentioning to me that you have... It is the time-honored tradition in America to help people, I guess, assimilate. They have to put up with those jokes, those ethnic jokes, don't they?
Oh, it absolutely is, in my opinion, Phil, necessary. And that's what happened with a neighbor of mine. I had made a joke, and he didn't understand it, and as a result, he has brought a great deal of heartache to my life, and he has brought a great deal of heartache to someone that I care about very much, and that's a little lady that I married 31 years ago. And her name is Sally, and she's my wife.
Well, what happened?
Well, it had always been her dream. She wanted a red brick wall along the eastern side of our property. Now we have about a half acre. And this wall is something she wanted because she wanted to have a trellis of roses on it. And we were going to put some flat bricks on top and have a fountain. And just the kind of a red brick wall, I guess, is kind of a country home wall.
I understand.
We took out a home equity loan. And I'll tell you what my little wife wants, she gets. So my son, who had two weeks of leave from the Air Force, came home, and also a contractor I know, Carter Voges, we built this gorgeous red brick wall. And I'll tell you what, it does accent our home very nice. Now, all of a sudden, a week ago Monday, I got a phone call from the gentleman who shares the property line with me. This is this Mr. Kim I was telling you about.
Okay, this is the Korean gentleman?
That is correct. He informs me that he had the city out and they did an on-site survey of our property lines, and this Kim, through, you know, his broken English, claims he says the city will back him up that I built the wall on the property line, not inside of it.
So you're basically over onto his property?
That's what he says, and I call the city. Now here's a guy you have to understand, Mr. Hendry.
Because you guys had words initially. Now you build this wall, and now he calls the city. So you got a neighbor dispute, right?
Well, let me just tell you something. My wall is over his property line, okay, but I took out a home equity loan, and it was a dream for my wife to have, And you have to understand and put yourself in my position. I got a Korean telling me through his, you know, broken up English, you got to take it down.
Now, you guys had words, correct?
Well, when you...
Well, I mean, before this wall situation, this wall is just wondering, what happened?
We did have words.
Tell me what happened.
They moved in last summer.
Now, who is they? Is that the Kims?
Yeah, that's my neighbors.
And this is the man that reported you to the city?
Yes, sir. And I was talking to him and his wife out in front of their house, and I had our black lab. We got a black lab named Candy. It's a beautiful black Labrador dog with us. And I was kidding around, and I pointed at our dog, and I said to the Korean couple, I said, no barbecue the dog. You know I think I said, you know barbecue dog. And I was joking around.
Well, obviously the man didn't think it was funny, and so now he takes the city.
Well, so here's the point. It's a rite of passage. So I've got to suffer, and I've got to sit there and quietly take it while he puts a cigarette out on my arm, figuratively speaking.
Well, no, I'm not saying, you know, look, technically you're in the wrong. You built the wall on his property.
Well, he's doing it out of revenge.
All right, well, if it is a revenge move, it's not the funniest thing. How long had you known these people?
I've known them since they moved in.
No, when you said you know barbecue dog, how long had you known them?
We had just met them that day.
That morning?
Yeah.
I mean, just then?
I guess I'd been talking to him for probably about 5 minutes or 6 minutes, something like that.
So 6 minutes into a conversation with a couple that just moves in next door, you say you know barbecue dog.
Mr. Henry, as I said to your producer, it is a rite of passage in America to be able to take a few jokes about your ethnic origin, something every generation of foreigners had to do. I don't know what makes this Korean so special. I don't know what makes him think that he's so special that I can't do a couple of barbecue, you know, you cook the dog, stir fry the cat jokes with this guy, okay?
Well, you know, you say in order to assimilate into America, you have to be able to take ethnic jokes at your expense.
Yeah, well, yeah, to a degree. I made a joke about the Korean eating the neighborhood dog. You know how old that is? How old that Korean's eating the dog joke?
But could you take that kind of joke?
I'm not a foreigner. I'm native born, so there's no joke you can make about me. But that's because my people were smart enough to come here way long time ago as opposed to a Korean that just got off the boat. But it's not, I don't mind the guy living next door to me.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. Vernon Dozier, you're a high school football coach and teacher?
Yes, sir. I am very proud to say I'm in my 30th year, actually, with the Belmar Academy.
All right, and you are having a neighborhood dispute with your next-door neighbor who called the city and said you built a wall on his property. But this may have its roots, sir, in that day, not too long ago, you said the beginning of the summer, that you made a Korean dog joke.
Well, if what you're telling me, Phil, is that this Korean has got a problem with me because I made a don't barbecue my dog joke, and now this guy goes to the city and rats me out because my brick wall is 3 inches over on his property, and my wife, who I will commit murder for, and I say that fully, all right? And I say that...
Well, no, wait. Are you threatening this man?
No. I'm just telling you how much I love my wife and how what she means to me. And she wanted a red brick wall, and I built her a red brick wall.
Did you stop, sir, to figure out, did you survey the property yourself? Did you have a map?
I had a property line assessment map, yeah, that I had drawn up. Now,
did you get it from the city?
I did not get it. I know where my property line is. I think the Korean just had a hard-on for, well, excuse my language.
Yeah, please watch your language.
Well, he had a problem with me because I said, you know barbecue my dog.
But the fact is, and he's backed up by the city, that the brick wall is over the line, and you feel persecuted, though.
Well, the brick wall may be over the line, but the Korean had it in for me because he doesn't get that when you come to America, you might as well expect to take a few cuties. You're going to take a couple of sweet ones, just a couple of, you know, knuckleballs off the cup. And they are jokes, and that's all they are. And I have never said that you're not allowed to live next door to me. And this Mr. Kim is purposely trying to make my wife and me have problems, because if that brick wall has to come down, then my wife, I don't think she's going to stay with me.
Well, you're worried about your marriage. You're worried about the Korean man. You made a joke about barbecuing dogs. You got all kinds of problems, don't you?
I'm a native-born American. What did I do wrong?
You know, I want to ask something, then we're going to take a break. You say it's okay for ethnic jokes because that's the rite of passage in America.
That is correct.
If you were black, would you have a problem with someone calling you the N-word?
None at all, no. I wouldn't care at all.
No, wait, come on. Black people were born and raised here, though. I mean, most African Americans, when we say African American, we're talking about generation after generation after generation. I mean, 500 years. Okay, do you think they get to be called the N-word?
Well, technically, they are tourists. I mean, I'm not tourists, but they come from tourists. Now, I know they were slaves, so that's a hell of a... You know, you don't want to call a slave a tourist, but they came over to see the country or whatever you want to say about it. Okay.
Wait a minute. African Americans come from generations of African slaves, not tourists.
Well, but they're foreigners. They came over. I don't know what they did, if they had to have a passport or whatever.
No, they didn't have to have a passport. They just came over and dropped them off here. Anyway.
Look, to make the point, they could call me the N-word. They could call me Sam Spade, whatever, because I know that they would just be trying to get me to assimilate, okay?
Well, what if somebody called you a cracker, a honky, an oafay? You know, like the white slang, the slang words for whites, a snowflake. What if they had said that? Hey, Snowflake, go get me a pack of cigarettes. What do you think of that?
Wouldn't bother me at all.
Wouldn't bother you?
No, because the purpose is to help me assimilate.
So you were trying to help Mr. Kim to assimilate when you said to him and pointed at your dog, you know, barbecue dog.
That is correct. And now he has the city telling me to tear down a wall. So you see what happened here. I made a joke about Korean food, and he wants to take my manhood away by tearing down our wall. Because if that wall comes down, my manhood is basically... God, I'm sick of the Koreans.
Now, okay, hold on for a minute. I thought I heard him say I'm sick of Koreans. Vernon Dozier is a high school football coach. He made a joke to a brand new Korean neighbor. You know barbecue my dog. He believes that's why his Korean neighbor went to the city and had them, had them survey the land to find out if this wall he had built was over on the guy's property, and indeed it was. Mr. Dozier believes it's vindictive. He thinks it's revenge from this Korean family because they don't get that if you are from another country, you have to expect to take these jokes. It's a rite of passage. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You know, as a native-born American, I've never really had to take many American jokes. I remember the first time was when I was standing in Britain. I was standing in Hyde Park, London, and a guy looked at me and he said, you're American? I said, yeah. And he said, well, you're nothing but a second-hand European. That was it. It was the first time anybody had given me, and I thought it was funnier than hell. I loved it. But beyond that, Mr. Dozier is saying, hey, you know what? If you're Korean, you better expect to take a you-know-barbecue dog joke every now and again. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The triumph of intelligence over ignorance.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm talking with Vernon Dozier. Hold on, Mr. Dozier. You're talking to me. You said to your Korean neighbor, please, you know barbecue my dog, and you said that was a comment on Korean food.
Absolutely. It was not meant to slur the Korean people. It was a way of just saying, welcome to America. I mean, we take a few shots. Korean food is notoriously terrible. And if this Mr. Kim would just keep quiet about my wall being on his property, I could do a lot to help him out. I mean, immigrants in this country need all kinds of help. It's not the smartest thing, any of them. You know, trying to make an enemy, and this Kim, now what does he want? Now he wants to piss me off, is that it?
Well, you know what? That comment right there I don't like.
Why?
Because that sounds as if you're threatening him. Look, you know barbecue my dog. He doesn't dig your wall being on his property. And then you say to me, if you were black, you wouldn't mind being called the N-word.
I wouldn't have any problem with it at all.
You're not black, so how would you know?
It's a color of skin. What's what's the difference between being white and black? I mean,
what's the difference between being white and black? 500 years of a completely different social entry into this country and experience.
Well, that's, I don't know what your sources are.
My sources are any history book you want to talk about, sir. Here is Vicky on the Phil Henry Show. Hello? Vicky?
Sir?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes, sir. I just like a comment from Mr. Dozer. He keeps saying that he was native born and that they're immigrants that are coming over.
Yeah, I was born here in America.
Okay, well, so were the black people, sir. If you are not a Sioux Indian, Cherokee, and you weren't originally in this country, and that's not part of your heritage, which it is part of my heritage,
and
you were not a Native American. You come over a boat just like everybody
else.
Yeah,
but the Indians, they came here across the Bering Strait, so they didn't even come here. See? They pushed
well,
out whoever was here.
But you're making the comment
so your ancestors
that you're a Native American, they have nothing.
I was born here. The Korean came here on the boat.
Now, okay, in America, we all have the same rights. Whether we come here and we become citizens,
we are all
given the same rights.
Exactly.
Just because he came over. Well, if he didn't want to hear that joke, then you should not have said it.
Well, ma'am.
And it's his right because, it's on his property. If he wants it removed, then you have to remove it because
you built your wall on
his property, regardless of what started.
But he wants it removed because I made the crack about Korean food being like stir-fried dog, okay? And if you say you're an Indian, I can make a couple of, what do you find underneath a squaw?
I don't really care.
$2. That's a joke that's an Indian.
Okay, I don't want to get off into telling ethnic jokes here, all right? Mr. Dozier?
I understand. But it's no big deal.
To you it may be no big deal, but to someone else it is. And
well,
your rights begin where another person's rights begin.
Well, this
your right to tell that joke ended when you were on him and you talked to him. If he didn't want to hear it, then he didn't have to hear it.
Well,
and regardless of what the joke started, that ball is on.
How am I supposed to know whether he wanted to hear it or not unless I told it? See what I'm saying? What am I supposed to do? Do you mind if I tell you a joke about you eating my dog?
That person may not have liked that joke.
Well, how am I supposed to know?
You don't tell ethnic jokes. You don't tell racist jokes. You don't tell sexual jokes. Because you don't know what the other person, what their beliefs are, what they want to hear. It doesn't give you the right to do it because you want to.
No, I'm in America, you have the right. I told a joke, and we had a lot of women, saleswomen, in it. I said, you know, this reminds me of the joke. The guy says, hey, how are your 9 sons, or how are your 8 sons, Mr. O'Reilly? He says, well, my 8 sons are fine. He says, you know, one more, you'd have a baseball team. He says, you're right. He says, and how are your 17 daughters? He says, my 17 daughters are great. He says, you know, one more, you'd have a golf course.
Oh, my God, would you please, please, please understand who you're talking to?
What? What's wrong with that joke?
It's insulting. It's sexual. It is inappropriate. And on top of everything else, you think it's perfectly fine. So suppose I look at you. Where are your ancestors from?
America.
No. What European country are your ancestors from?
Who knows? I think they were always here.
No. Are you a white man?
Yes, I am.
All right. So where are you?
You originally did not come here, sir, if you're a white man.
No, I'm pretty sure that
you came from
here.
Some European country. You either came from...
Well, you were a Viking,
if you were in England. The white people came from England.
It doesn't make any difference where I'm from. You can't make jokes about me. I'm bland. I'm all mixed together.
Yeah, it must be nice to have pure blood in you so that you can come along and make a joke about it. All right, thank you very much, Vicky. 1-800-449-8686. Ariel, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, how's it going? I just said something to Mr. Dozier. It wasn't very smart of him to say that. Basically, he doesn't even know, like, if he studied the Korean culture or anything like that. Like, he basically doesn't know, like, where they're coming from.
What are you talking about? I mean, you'd eat the dog. I mean, why do I got to know where he's coming from? He's in America now. He needs to go where I'm coming from. See? And it's like if I had a guy move in next door to me who was,
he didn't know where you were coming from. You know what I mean?
Now the guy rats me out.
And then now, like, it's your mistake for putting your property, something on his property.
Is that a reason to take a man's manhood away from him?
How does he know that it's your manhood? You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, that wall I built for my wife, he takes that wall down, he might as well just go ahead and take my testicles.
Well, he doesn't know that. That's his property, so he has the right to do that.
Yes, and the city is backing him up. And on top of everything else, I don't blame him for being angry, Mr. Dozier, when you make a crack like that, no barbecue the dog.
Well, I made a little joke about Korean food, and this guy wants to rip my manhood completely away from my...
I understand. I understand. Thank you, Ariel. Here is Julie on the Phil Henry Show. Julie?
Hi. Yes. I want to say something. I'm kind of scared that this ignorant man is a high school teacher.
Ma'am, you come right off the bat and call me ignorant. What makes me ignorant? I said a way to assimilate in America is to be able to take a couple of jokes. Like, what are you? Are you French or something, or what?
I think that's uncalled for and rude.
Well,
I don't care if I'm Italian.
Oh,
I'm
my
Irish.
God. I have all those hairy lip jokes. We could go on forever with you. And the reason why I don't do it is because, were you born here?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was.
You were born here.
Yeah.
But you show me one of these, Italians off the boat.
You know what? This isn't the point. The point is you're ignorant. The second point is you built a wall on his property. Get it off.
You know what I did?
You're in the wrong. You're absolutely in the wrong.
Hey, by the way, how do you drown a Haitian? You give him a shoebox and you tell him it floats. That's the kind of stuff you do. And
No.
You know what? I don't really think that it's kind of a waste of everyone's time listening to you.
Yeah, you know, because I don't think you can be convinced, Mr. Dozier, and you're going to have to tear that wall down.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Jack Ball. It's entertainment. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And I hear that they're pulling the wall down now, sir. Is that it?
Yeah, the city showed, not the city, it's a private construction, they're bringing the wall down. So he's basically taken my manhood away from me. And I really don't know where it's written in the United States Constitution that says another man gets to castrate another man because I made some joke about him barbecuing my dog.
Well, that's not just the only joke you made. I mean, you also said that you mentioned to him, if my daughter pet sits for you, or if your daughter pet sits for us, what was it?
What I said was, see, I like to be quoted accurately, sir.
All right, what did you say?
I said, if your daughter pet sits for us, I hope she doesn't eat our cat, and then I said, I'm only kidding. So I immediately backed it up.
All right, but now the city, and this is the city said that when they came out to take a look at the wall, and he said... Mr. Kim said it was too far over into his property. You said, why don't you open your eyes up a little wider, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Because of this... So, in other words, I can't make a slant eye joke. Is that what you're telling me? I'm not...
While you're assessing property and legal issues, you're making a slant eye joke?
It was a joke.
Well, right now, they're ripping your wall down.
Yeah, well, I've got a great lawyer. By the way, what does a Korean call a dog wagging its tail?
Oh, come on.
A happy meal, see? But do you think I can...
Hold on for a minute. Here is Seton. Go ahead, sir. Seton, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier and Phil Henry.
Yes, it's interesting. Mr. Dozier talked about this guy is taking away his manhood. But he built the wall on his neighbor's property. Irregardless of who the neighbor was, whether it was his Korean neighbor or his white neighbor before him, and his manhood said that, hey, I could just put a wall up wherever I wanted.
Well, no, sir.
He feels that this gentleman has no right to ask him to remove the wall from his property. If he had approached a guy with a little humility and a little good neighbor, what I would consider Americanism, real Americanism, the guy might have said, what the hell? Leave the wall up there.
Well, that's what he should have done. I mean, he came after my wall because he was angry because he didn't have a sense of humor.
Wait a minute.
That's ridiculous. I've never heard anything so ridiculous in my entire life.
Wait a minute. Why? I made an all-American little ethnic crack that's, big deal, and
those kind of cracks are very un-American, very un-American. And, somewhere along the line, it's absolutely, it's almost terrifying that you are involved with young minds and carry this type of influence on the young minds. But you know what? You are so ridiculous that you offer the alternative where a young mind can look at you and he might not say a word, but he's thinking, you know what? This guy is out in left field. He's just the kind of guy I don't want
to
be.
Well, I'd like to tell you, sir, that we graduate a great many young students. I'm a football coach as well. I'd like to think the children we turn out at Belmar Academy are quality American citizens, black and white. I don't make any ethnic jokes. He was my neighbor. I said, you know, barbecue my dog. Big deal. You know, now this Chinaman, or not Chinaman,
yeah,
he's Korean.
Yeah, that is a big deal.
Well,
that is a big deal.
Look, see, let me tell you something between you and me. You're an American. I can tell by the sound of your voice you're African-American, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But between you and me, these Chinese, this is what we got to look out for.
Hey, man, you know what? Between
the
you
Chinaman.
And me, between you and me, Europeans came over here to another guy's home.
Yeah, but what about...
And stabbed a flag in the ground and hollered, this is mine.
Well, that's
how,
the way...
How deep is that?
Well, that's history. History is replete with people taking over other people. Well, the blacks came over here and did what they did. And
the African-American came over here as a slave.
African-American...
Oh, yeah, here we go.
African-Americans were brought over here.
One day... What are you...
They had no choice in the matter.
Well, you're sorry that we did you a favor, didn't we? I mean... And one day I put on one of my daughter's stuffed animals on the barbecue and I said, hey, Mr. Kim, soup's on. And I thought it was funny. My wife thought it was funny. But this Kim, can he laugh? No.
You put one of your daughter's stuffed animals on a barbecue?
Yes.
And you said soup's on?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, everything that you did pissed this guy off so much they're ripping your freaking wall down right now, okay? So good luck.
Well, I'll tell you right now.
That sounds about right to me.
This is what the Chinese
are
doing.
Exactly right.
This is what these Chinese are.
If you were my neighbor, the same thing would be happening.
You take my wall down.
Absolutely, without a doubt. No, I wouldn't take your wall down. You would take it down.
Even if I made the little...
And that whole crack about open your eyes a little wider.
Well, come on. When did we stop being able to laugh at ourselves?
No, the thing of it is, Mr. Dozier, is thank you very much, Seton, by the way, for your phone
thank
call.
You.
You want everybody else to laugh at themselves, but you can't laugh at yourself.
How can I laugh at myself? I don't come from anywhere but America. So I'm not...
You're kind of joke-proof, huh? You're ethnic joke-proof?
Pretty much. I mean, right now I'm watching them take down this wall that I built for my wife, and you might as well take a set of garden shears to my scrotum, because all of the...
Come on, pal. This is a wall that can be rebuilt 1 inch inside your property line.
Say that again?
I said the wall can be rebuilt 1 inch inside the property line.
Jesus, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because in all of the excitement, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, and all of the excitement. You know what? You've been thinking up too many freaking barbecue my dog jokes to think about how to build that wall. Here is Anka. Hello, Anka. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Mr. Dozier. I am a German living in the United States for 10 years, and I have to tell you, you are a very cruel and insensitive man. If I don't know somebody, if I don't know a person, and that person just walks right up to me and says, hey, you crowd, I would be very offended.
Well, I would think of all the people who would understand.
And somebody walked up to me, and I've known the person for a while and would call me a crowd, I would not be offended because I know where the person is coming from because I have known the person for a while.
Yeah, but
I
the
don't
difference
know you.
Is...
You do not walk up to me and call me a crowd, okay?
All right, but the difference so is you guys lost the World War, so you have to take these jokes.
I extend you because I don't walk up to you and call you a hot dog-eating cowboy, okay?
Well, but here's the
so
thing about the Germans.
I think you're very full of yourself.
You guys have
I
to take these jokes.
I don't want to hear any of
and,
your dumb jokes.
Because you lost the
you're
war, you guys are going to have to...
I don't care how many
no, you lost the war. We didn't. So you guys have to take the German jokes.
Never known before. And
the whole thing about how you guys.
You don't eat my dog.
Do you eat women? You eat dog?
Or whatever you said. I just think that you're very cruel and insensitive, and you're very full of yourself, and you shouldn't be allowed to be a teacher. Do you understand that? Because the crap that
all right, take a breath, Anka. Take a breath. Take a breath. All right. Vernon.
I just want to say to Anka, Sieg Heil.
Oh, that's really great.
You know
that's
what?
Really great.
I feel really sorry for your pupils, and I hope your crap doesn't spill over to them, because
yeah,
you must still live in the 1800s. You know, we live in the modern world now, and regardless who lives in the United States, you do not have any right to make any stupid jokes unless you know that person and they know where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, what'd you think of that Hogan's Hero? Seriously.
Just take a hold of yourself, you know, step back and check yourself, you know, and
check myself, get you.
And build a wall on my property and call me a crowd, I will take the wall down myself, okay? You got that?
These crowds love to push their weight around.
Oh, get out of here, will you, with your freaking crowd discipline. Anka, thank you for your call, okay?
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Still there? Oh, damn it, she hung up.
Why?
I wanted her to say one thing for me.
What?
Hogan, 30 days in the cooler for you and your men.
Yeah, okay. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Fair and balanced without the porn. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby Dooley on the show yesterday. She is the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association, and she feels the American mother and father, they have failed at protecting their children. Look at all the Amber Alerts. It's up to Bobby Dooley to take control of your kids.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I just want to tell you that you are completely wrong and out of your line. You have no business teaching any child how to become little terrorists. And you can even remotely raise children. You are teaching other children to disobey their parents.
No, what I'm saying, Catherine, is this. As a parent, you have lost your ability to protect your children.
No.
Because of the Amber Alerts. Children are being chopped up.
Because children are taught, they're taught very special things in life. And that is one, to stay away from people like you.
Well, excuse me, I'm not chopping up children and abducting them. I'm teaching children how to protect themselves. When's the last time you took your daughter out into the garage and showed her how to gouge out
man's
eyes?
My children matter of fact, are raised on a daily basis. My husband has a federal firearms license. Our children are taught safety first, always and foremost. First, and that is
Catherine.
In every single situation.
We're not talking about stop, drop, and roll here. We're talking about an animal wanting to cut your child up into food.
Sick, twisted woman. Everybody through this life is going to chop children up. For the majority of this world, there are decent, honest, church-going, God-loving, children-loving people in this world.
Oh, my God, you're naive.
For other people's children.
Oh, my God, Catherine, you're so naive.
You're really naive. We've seen a lot of the world.
I'll do it, Steve.
Are you kidding me?
Catherine.
I work in a prison on a daily basis. I see the worst of the worst. I am dealing with those sex offenders and those kidnappers on a daily
Catherine,
basis.
Catherine, I can tell you.
To teach children to disobey their parents and to go out and learn how to use piano strings and things like that to defend themselves?
Catherine,
no.
I would rather a child...
And you are teaching those children. Yeah. You are teaching them to become terrorists.
Can I ask you a question?
You are teaching them to become violent little...
Is the host there?
Columbine little...
Is the host there? Is the host there?
Yeah, the host is here.
May I say something?
Yeah.
Catherine, you are setting your children up to become... something that a serial murderer has in an old gas stove in a cabin somewhere.
No, I am setting my children,
your children
up to be promising adults.
Oh, my God.
There are cannibals out there. They eat the flesh of children.
You are the ones that sound like cannibals.
No, I'm teaching children how to defend themselves.
I have never in my life heard somebody out there in the public speaking the disgusting things that you are.
Let me jump in here. This is Phil Henry. You're saying that, and then we have to take a break, but Catherine, I should say Bobby, you're saying parents are not capable.
Phil, the kids come over to our house on the weekends, and they say, Miss Dooley, my mom is so lame, and I go, you know, tell me about it.
You're trying to live your teenage years through these kids.
How are you going to feel when your daughter's hair is being used as stuffing for some pervert's pillow? Yeah, so you don't think about that, do you?
Oh, my God.
I think you and your husband are the perverts. If I lived in your state, and for those people that live in your neighborhood, they should be calling their local authorities to have you guys checked out.
Okay, Catherine, they can check me out while your daughter has already been tied up and dismembered in the back of a van. Thank you.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, there's Bobby. She's got it all figured out. Thank God we don't all live in a gated community. Thank God I can't afford it. Bobby Dooley on the Phil Henry Show from yesterday, and you can listen to all kinds of bits like that on our website, www.philhenryshow.com. If you want to hear, you know, archived stuff, just go to that website and get a backstage pass. It's only $6.95 a month. I only got one thing to say here as we draw to a close this hour. Actually, I had a couple of things I wanted to say. That whole, you know, ethnic slur thing is you know, the Korean joke. You know, it's really old and tired. Really old and tired. It's the joke about the Indian who runs the convenience store thing, right? But what's even dumber is the controversy that swirled around Clinton, Hillary Clinton last week, saying that Gandhi ran a gas station. Whatever. Why don't you people pull a, just maybe see if you can get just a little, like a thin straw up your sphincter, just for starters. Some of you cats that get absolutely just won't let anything go, man. You talk about Nazis. You talk about fascists. This is what I keep making this point over and over again, and I'll keep making it until people finally understand it. This is what you should fear. The government's not doing this to you. Just jackasses, just people in the news media, people that are the, you know, that are the watchdogs, the guardians of American morality. You made one little crack about a raghead running a gas station? Why, you Nazi. Nazi? You're the Nazi. You're the fascist. She could have let it go. I mean, the people that came down on her for that could have let it go. But it is a tired joke. Doesn't make it, it shouldn't mean that, you see, I would have gotten down on her for being tired and old, not necessarily that it was offensive. Mahatma Gandhi was Mahatma Gandhi. He was a great man, and you know what? He wore a diaper, and so people make a joke about it. And if you don't like it, then why don't you go pound it? You know, Phil Lord and Chris Miller, the guys that produced Clone High, I was talking to them yesterday. Some of you may remember the show Clone High on MTV. They had a Gandhi character. And I told you, it got banned in the United States, essentially, because India didn't dig it. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Hold the phone. Are you telling me because India don't dig it, now they're telling Americans what we get to look at, what we get to laugh at? In our country, you understand? Just in our... We're not sticking it on Indian TV. They're telling... This is... Our country has become so big and so successful that everybody thinks they got a right to tell us what to do. You know, they're worried about America running around the globe telling everybody else what to do. What the hell do you think is happening to us? Everybody's weighing in on how we're supposed to do it. Indians, the French, they don't like this on our TV. They don't like that kind of behavior. They don't like this food. I mean, every freaking, that clown came over here from England and said he didn't like us flying our flag. Oh, okay. So, enough of that bullcrap. I had one. Oh, yeah, I know what I wanted to tell you. I wanted to ask this question. We don't have much time, but... When is that bloody Mel Gibson movie going to come out so we can hear people just... Would you just stop talking about it so we can all... At Passover. Perfect. That's perfect, Mel. You're already being accused of anti-Semitism. Why not release it on Passover? I personally want to see the movie, and I support the movie from the standpoint of if it's historically accurate, I got no problem with it. But here's the point. How can you be historically accurate with the life of Jesus? Nobody even knows whether he really existed or not. We have no independent corroboration of this man's life other than the Bible. However, that having been said, I think you get historically some of the things right. And frankly, it might have been a good idea to crucify Jesus. Now, I know you're thinking, oh, God, what a horrible parting shot. No, wait a minute. If you look at what the guy represented to the establishment at the time, there were no Christians. There were just Jews and Romans. Do you understand? And Jesus himself was a Jew who called himself the Messiah. Probably if I were one of the leading rabbis, I would have said, this cat's got to go. And I have no doubt in my mind that everybody listening to me tonight would agree. As a matter of fact, here's the real truth, as I've said so many times before. all of us listening tonight, all of us on the radio tonight, you guys listening and me, we all would have been there applauding had we lived at the time of Christ. We all would have been there applauding as they crucified him. Because we're good Americans, aren't we? And we would have been good Roman citizens. All right.
Heavy, Mr. Hendry. Heavy.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.